So actually, Rabbi Hindon had suggested, and I agree totally, that the best idea is to focus as much as possible on practical issues. All the practical, the halachic issues that someone going into medicine is likely to encounter, starting really in medical school, which might be a little late for that, but hopefully not. And so perhaps focusing more, since there's limited time, on post-medical school. Starting with residency, choosing residency, in residency, post-residency. So I definitely agree that that's the focus for the subsequent year. Today, I still wanted to discuss this, try to capture two topics that are, I believe they are very practical topics, and they precede actual on-the-ground halacha l'maisa issues, but they encompass in a klali way very important halachic issues. And that is the shaila of the heter to become a doctor, and I'll tell you why that's like such an important topic to me, and I always like to start with that, and try to hit that, and today, Shomer Shabbos residencies, the Inyan of Shomer Shabbos residencies. The reason that we're rushing it, and correct me if I'm wrong, is I was given the impression that that's been covered, and you've talked about that in other settings. Is that true?
Or you,
right. I mean, I might. We'll see. We'll see if I'll tell you. There are various takes on that. It is not such a pashut issue. Either one. The reason I like to start with the heter to become a doctor, and I'm purposely using that type of language. Some people feel that's like a joke. Heter to become a doctor. Are you crazy? Come on. So. I was one of those people. I didn't even think it was a shiloh, necessarily. I knew that it was an issue that's discussed, but that it was a serious halachic issue. At first, I definitely wasn't feeling that way until I had a nice long talk with Rav Schechter about it, which I want to share with you. His shita is pretty well known. And also, when I was privileged, and sort of by way of introduction to coming here, I was privileged to give Shiurim here for a couple of years, about 3 years, 3.5 years. And during that time, I was like blown away by the people that were here. And I'm sure you guys are going to be the same as that chevr. The chevr is unbelievable. There were a number of guys that had smicha already. They were incredibly motivated. Everyone had like siddurim separate from coming to these shiurim, which just amazed me how much time they had. Not that it's not a rigorous place, Einstein. They just couldn't get enough. And they wanted to do issues be'ian. They didn't want to just hear halacha l'maisa. They wanted to understand derivations. It was just an amazing group. And they were always excited, and they were always upbeat. And then one day, I come in. It was really almost like I could pinpoint the day. And the whole affect of the room, the whole atmosphere of the room was different. And the guys were just down, and to a large degree, down. What had happened? So it was really a cumulative effect of several events. First was they had had a sort of, let me give this out. They had a Q&A in some forum with Rav Schechter, of all people. And he discussed many various halachic issues, which was very helpful to them. But then somebody made the mistake, and I call it maybe making a mistake, but in the end it was a good thing, of asking him a more general question about, it was a lead into Shomer Shabbos residency question, and it got down to a nitty-gritty question with Rav Schechter. And it really was on the concept of becoming a doctor. And this, I just give you a sample on that top, that first page, is a sample from Torah Web, where he's conveying he's not spelling it out the way he'll say it to you in person, but he's definitely conveying his overall attitude, which is he definitely likes to encourage people that he feels are able to learn well, to realize, he wants to make sure you realize that you don't have to become a doctor, right? Just because you're very good and very smart, a good thing to do, a better thing to do, clearly, is to go into learning, to be involved in learning. Like I had that kind of personal experience with him. I remember that when I was applying for residencies, and I was pretty certain I was going to go for a Shabbos residency, But, you know, it was definitely a big decision, and I felt like I should, like, let me get a PSOC, let me make it official. I was turning down certain programs, and I was taking other programs. Let's just schmooze it out. So I went to Rav Schechter, and at that time, he had just written what became an unpublished article on this topic. It was such a hot topic at that time. This is like 20 years ago, 25 years ago. And it was about choosing a Shomer Shabbos residency, and he came out very strong in terms of what the right thing to do was. And in the end, he decided not to publish it. It was going to be too much of a, at that point in time, I think too much of a sudden controversy is a bit of an understatement for that time period. And he opted out to not do it, but he certainly was open when you spoke to him one-on-one. And one of his arguments in the article, I had somehow got a hold of the article anyway. He used to have somebody who wrote his articles up. And I was friendly with them, and I managed to get that article anyway. And it was very important to me. I needed to see it. And among the arguments, and since then, he's already published this in Ikvei Hatzon, and it's out there, a lot of these arguments. One of them was basically the famous argument about you're not supposed to put yourself in a position where you're going to use Pikuch Nefesh to be Doche Yisurim down the road. Right? It's a lot more complicated than that. Actually, hopefully we'll talk about it in a little bit, exactly the Mekoros and the Rishonim and exactly how that sugya works out. But the upshot of it was something like that, and certainly to my understanding then. So, you know, when I went to meet with Rav Schechter, I asked him, I said, you know, one natural conclusion of this, in other words, you can't go to a non-Shabbos program because you're going to be using Pikuch Nefesh, Pikuch Yisurim. I said, the natural conclusion to that is, what else can't you do? Become a doctor. So I'm expecting Rav Schechter to say, nah, that's crazy. Instead, he said, Ein Achinam. Right? Come to the Kollel. And he said, here's a spot. Come right over. So, needless to say, it didn't end there for me, you know. But that is not far off from where he's holding. And especially back then, he was holding that way for sure. In terms of, he felt he wanted, you know, many more serious guys and guys that he felt could learn to think, not automatically think you got to go into medicine and become a doctor. So he had conveyed this sort of general attitude at this Q&A. Then, the next thing that happened to these guys was that big excitement, Avram Sofer Avram, Dr. Avram Sofer Avram, I'm sure you've all heard of him, Nishmas Avram, one of the Gdole medical halacha, knows Arbach Chelke Shulchan Aruch for sure, has access to all of Gdole Yisrael at the time. He's an amazing person. There was tremendous excitement in Einstein. He's coming to Einstein. They were fighting over who's going to get to pick him up from the airport. I remember it was a tremendous excitement. What does Rav Avram Sofer Avram, a doctor, he doesn't like to be called Rav. He never can call him Rav. It's also to call him Dr. Avram Sofer Avram Rav. Right? He's an Anna beyond imagination. He's an amazing person. So he comes and he gives them, and I give you a little piece from Lev Avraham over here that just is a tiny reflection of the way he speaks. See, he's very concerned. I had a long talk with him. He lives, I teach in Torah Shragan and Gross in Bayit Vegan. He lives right near there. So it's a great opportunity to get to speak to him. He is very upset. He feels, and this was the background to what he said to them that day. I kind of knew it. He thinks that there are too many doctors out there not concerned enough with halacha, meaning that they felt that there's this sort of blanket heter, once you're an MD, to do anything. Shabbos, you know, is nidcha to being a doctor, right? Not Pikuch Nefesh, not Chol Shein B'Sakana, Yesh B'Sakana, all those things. No. It's you're a doctor, so then suddenly Shabbos is tougher. And he felt that was the attitude, and so he goes around, when he speaks, he knows everybody's going to be thinking he's going to be encouraging them to go into medicine, but in reality, what he does is the opposite. He gives, I don't know if any of you have ever heard the talk on this topic from him. It's available on YU Torah if you want to hear it, you know. Don't take it the wrong way. They did. They were demoralized by it. He basically, here they are, very enthusiastic guys, very committed to halacha, very committed to being great people in medicine, and he basically is saying, don't do it. And he lists all the halachic challenges, and there are tremendous ones. I would say, I really feel very comfortable saying this, choosing to become a doctor is probably the most halachically challenging vocation a person could choose. Because you're really going to get hit and you know we'll cover some of them over the next few weeks. You're going to hit many, many areas that most people in their lifetimes don't have to encounter. You know, starting with Shabbos, of course, but many other things. You know, in all of the Abrachelke Shulchan Aruch, there's a reason for Nishmas Avraham. There's a reason for it. So he says, look, what are you getting yourselves into? You want Parnassa, right? So he was very discouraging. Then they started showing me more. So, you know, Rabbi Bleich is another one. Rabbi Bleich is also discouraging in this regard. And if you turn to page 2, when they really felt that they got me, was they said, it's not just contemporary poskim. He says, look at the Gedolei Hador. Look at Rav Shlomo Zalman and look at Rav Moshe. Right? Because the truth of the matter is, if you talk to Rav Shechter, one of his major makoros for his shita is Rav Moshe. And we'll look at it in a moment. And they said, look what they say. So here's Rav Shlomo Zalman. Ikar achiv shel Yehudi hu lilmo Torah. Ushe haheterim hamuvim b'nishmas Avraham, which is talking about, this is the issue of studying on Shabbos, studying medicine on Shabbos was the issue that's dealt with. Hemrakavur mishe eino yachol, or the heter to become a doctor is limited. It's a limited thing. You really should be learning, right? So I had guys calling me up. Not only were they upset that day, I had guys then calling me up, saying, you know, my whole life's a dieved. Save me, right? My whole life is a dieved. Take it easy, you know, like, hold it. It's not that pashut. But you can see why they're getting that idea. And then you read with Moshe. If you look at the tshuvas, these are the two tshuvas that are going to go back and forth right now between them. You definitely get the impression, you know where these guys are coming from. By the way, how's everyone feeling? Good? Everyone's all right? Just hang tight. There's a happy ending to this. All right? But part of the reason that I'm insisting on doing this, despite the fact that I agree with you and I think we should do all the practical things, is I've had too many phone calls over the years from people that at some point in their careers come feeling that their life is dieved. Right? It's usually a guy who's concerned with halacha. That's why it's anyone who's coming to this is at risk, right? You're in an at-risk group. So comes along Rav Moshe, and he puts it this way. He says, incredible chiddush, in the context of a very famous tshuva about Kohanim becoming doctors, right? So that was one of Rav Moshe, who was fiery about this. You know, he's a very mild-mannered person, but in this tshuva, the fire comes out. He was being asked, it was Rav Schwab, Shimon Schwab had asked, there was this kuntres that came out where a guy wrote that it's mutter for Kohen to go fully through the whole rigors of medical school, including Maga, Masa, Ohel, every issue of Tumas Kohanim, no problem. Why? Pikuach Nefesh. Pikuach Nefesh will be Dochet. That was what the Kuntres basically concluded. So Schwab writes to Rav Moshe, what do you think of this? So Rav Moshe thought it was this, I don't want to use such language for Rav Moshe, but he's kind of writing strongly, so I want to give you the impression of how he felt about that. It was the stupidest thing you ever heard of. He said, this person's not a Talmud Chacham. He's used that type of lashon. In the midst of it, he says the following that's a very striking statement. He says, She'af im lo hayashum rofe ba'olam, leka chiv mitzad pikuach nefashos lilmod chachmas harefuah. Just in case you were saying, you know, all right, I understand there's all the challenges of becoming a doctor, and da 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 da. But you know, I want to become a doctor to help people and save lives. Isn't that a great, now aren't I a great person? Isn't that a great thing? So comes along with Moshe and he says, no. And even if you're, this is incredibly striking, even if you're the only one in the world, right? No doctors. So it's mamsh kuch nefesh, right? Still, there's no chiyuv. So how do you resolve, by the way, just as an aside? How does that make sense? How does that make sense? The other reason I want to do this, by the way, is just to get a feel for everybody that helps with the other decisions. So, now that the pressure's on, so how do you feel about that? Does that make sense? Is that a logical conclusion? Doesn't it sound crazy? Pikuach Nefesh is not docha, whatever issue. How do we get out of that? So it's going to relate to the sugi of Chalef Aneinu or not, to some degree, for sure. Right? Pikuach Nefesh normally needs Chalef Aneinu, but as we'll talk about Ezra Hashem, in another week or two, when we get into the classifications of Poland, it's not so partial like that. Because you know the Chasam Sofer and the Yehuda say, you need Chol Lefaneinu. Chazon Ish expanded it. It's not just Chol Lefaneinu, Sakana Lefaneinu. It doesn't have to be Mamish Chol Lefaneinu. You know, the cholera epidemic, you know it's coming. Right? That was the context of when they were speaking. That's good enough. And then others, right? Many others, Rav Untem and Rav Bleich, contemporary posts can even take it further. They say, the percentages are, there's a certain percentage likelihood of the sakana, right? And the Shmir Shabbos will give you, for example, like, let's say there's the one medical personnel on a yeshuv in Eretz Yisrael, and she goes out for Hatzalah, which is another topic we'll talk about, returning from Hatzalah, very important. There's many facets to that that you guys got to know. But so she's out, and what's the heter to come back? So forgetting about the sugya of returning from Hatzalah, which is an independent sugya, right away the Shmir Shabbos tells you, well, since she has a very high likelihood that there might be some other pikuach nefesh in that entire yeshuv, she has a heter daraisas. She can be over in daraisas even to go back, because the likelihood of sakana is enough that it's going to be matir pikuach nefesh. So if we could say that, what are we going to say over here? There's no doctor in the world, you know, likelihood there's going to be some sakana. So what's the answer? The answer is actually this seems like a very simple answer, and it's actually accurate. Is there's definitely a achrayus on the tzibur to have doctors. That's docha everything, right? In other words, mishum pikuach nefesh, the tzibur has to provide for doctors. It just doesn't have to be any individual. So an individual doesn't make that calculation, right? You don't make the calculation, oh, there's no doctors here, it's got to be me. No, it does not have to be you. If you're the Kohen, for sure it doesn't have to be you. It's going to be someone else, and the tzibur's got to be willing to offer the money or whatever it's going to take to get somebody to do it. But that's why this thing does make sense. He's talking from the perspective of you as an individual. Don't think you're going to save the world. So he's giving you the extreme for you as an individual. Even if you thought you're needed, right? Don't think that's your heter mishum pikuach nefesh, that's why you're becoming a doctor. Oh, okay, that's tough to deal with, right? You all want to think we're going into medicine to save the world to some degree. I hope you do. You really should. But Moshe is saying, don't think you're going to be doche yisurim because of that. And it's really because of the Ba'asher Hushama. If you flip over to the other tshuva is talking about autopsies and anatomy lab. And the heter are there. So there he's going and he's saying that even l'islamed lios rofe, meaning to learn medical facts, is not doche pikuach nefesh or other yisurim. It's not doche Shabbos. It's not doche anything. Because any of us have is a chiyuv. The gabe hatzolos nefashos. L'osam ala damriyacha is whatever we're holding in. No one's chayev to become a doctor to get better at it. Just like we have a chiv tzedakah, but we don't have a chiv to get rich, unfortunately, right? but we have a chiv bashev sham, sort of whatever you're holding in terms of how you can adept you are at saving lives, so you're chayev to do it. But let's say you can't swim and the guy's drowning, you're not chayev to, like, you know, become an expert swimmer in order to save him. Maybe it's not a bad idea, but there's no chiyuv, and that's how he sort of explains this further. And then he takes it one step further, and this really hits home when he says, flipping back to the other tshuva, he says it's not only a question of isurim. He's saying af Yisrael shemeniach milimod bishvil pikuach nefesh yase kishilmod chokhmas refua shaleka bize af makom litos af lo his Natsluts Levitol Torah. Unbelievable. So he's saying that, and then if you flip back to the other tshuva on the bottom there, he says, Adarabah Chazinan Shemisha Torasum Naso Kirabi Shimon Bar Yochai, the Chaderav, Lo Askub Melachta Rakidei Chiyusam, and Nechshav Zel Amaila Hayoser. So here you go. Here it is. Like, we all kind of know about this, that Moshe is now spelling it out for many of the people in Einstein at that time, and for many of us. You know, this is where Dievid comes in. The Maila Hachi Gedola is that we should become big Talmidei Chachamim and be sitting and learning. You know, we shouldn't have a Shir on medical halacha. We should have, we should as Rabbani, right? And we should have Shirim on Masechtos. We should be becoming Talmidei Chachamim. That's the Maila Hachi Gedola. So, everyone had enough of the downside here yet? So by the time they get through throwing this at me, you know, like, it was just my great happy-go-lucky, I used to wake up excited to get there, group, was like in a mass depression. And it was like unbelievable. I'm not exaggerating. It was such a change in affect. I had to do this topic. So how do we get out of this? Good. That's excellent. A lot of guys said that. They said, why are they picking on us? Right? We're the only way. But I want you to know, the reality of life is, it is us that gets picked on. I don't know why. But in my experience, no one's like attacking the lawyers and the business guys and women that are doing things like that. It's always like the doctor. What are you going into medicine for, right? That there is no rational explanation for that, right? Maybe it's the stereotype of the Jewish doctor or something, or maybe it's the fact, we'll see in a moment, that actually it's a tremendous mitzvah to become a doctor. It's an absolutely tremendous mitzvah. We'll talk about it in a second, how we sort of make everybody happy, including Rav Schechter and Avram Sofer Abraham and Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman. And we'll see that it all does come together. And Ein Hachinami, I don't know why the doctors get picked on and why we need to do this. But it was important to do because nobody should think, anyone who's made the choice to go into medicine, assuming it's done for the Shem Shamayim reasons, which no doubt it is, I want it should be thought of as a lechatchila. That's the key. That's what I want it to be. And Ein Hachinami agree with it. I have no explanation why it's particularly us as doctors they're picked on in this
field. I feel like it's probably because we think it's lechatchila, so they're like, if you think that's lechatchila, this lechatchila.
Right.
That's all
right. So does anyone know this? You know, there's really, this is very pashut, this sugya. You know, it's almost an unnecessary gamble for me to do this topic, but I always find that it's helpful. It's helpful. It's also helpful for me to say it to myself again, right? But I think it's helpful for a lot of people that, in the end of the day, what's the pashut answer to this? Anyone know it? I'm going to show you Rishonim and Achronim that substantiate the pashut answer, but assuming you all made a consciously correct decision to go into medicine, so how did you navigate this problem? Should we talk about it? No, let's not talk about it. I want to make sure we can get to the next topic so we can finish this topic. First thing you got to do is you got to respond to Rav Moshe. Right? Rav Moshe tells me the Maila Chi Gavoa is to go into learning. Okay, I understand that. That's definitely a very solid hashkafa. There's no question about it. Where does it come from? What famous sugya? So the sugya you have on page 2, right? So here's a very well-known topic, a very well-known Gemara. Everybody knows this Gemara, but no one really knows it. That's what I find. Or people don't know it well enough. They don't really learn it la'amita for two reasons. Some are afraid. Some think that, you know, if they learn the sugya and they really tear into it and they go emes la'amita to learn this like you learn any other sugya of halacha, you're not necessarily going to be happy with the outcome. Right? But sometimes you got to just take the plunge. So I want to do that quickly with you. How does this sugya really come out? What's the upshot of the sugya? I'm not going to get into Torah Manda and all that stuff, but it's really gets to the heart of our discussion, especially Rav Moshe introduced Rav Shimon bar Yochai. So we have to now navigate that. Is that really the conclusion? Certainly it is the conclusion that the Maila Chi Gavoa is, I'm not going to argue with Rav Moshe, right? The Maila Chi Gavoa is to be like Shimon bar Yochai. Is that the mindset of every individual? Is that the a priori mindset of every individual? That's the question. So how does the sugya work out? So we know it's a machlokas, right? There is a stira between two psukim, lo yamush and be'asafta deganecha, right? It says lo yamush, yom v'layla, that means you should be learning all the time. Absolutely. And at the same time, there is this pasuk that says, v'haya in shamoa be'asafta deganecha, that you will have to do derech eretz. So the famous machlokas, Rabbi Shmuel says, you see, be'asafta deganecha is the matir. Right? The pasuk says lo yamush laila v'yom, yom v'laila. However, the asafta deganecha teaches you, well, you're not going to get too far in life, survival, without the asafta deganecha, so you need Torah in derech eretz. And comes along Rabbi Shimon Yochai, he says, no, you're wrong. Lo yamush stands. What do I do with the asafta deganecha? That's bizman that Kli Yisrael are not doing Ratzon Hashem. But in the ideal, absolutely, lo yamush. So if you start to look at the Rishonim and explore the sugya, each one of them has issues. There's problems with both. Let's start with Rav Shimon bar Yochai. What's Rav Shimon bar Yochai? What's the ultimate Rishonim's understanding of Rav Shimon bar Yochai? Want to say something? Or answer it? Yeah, I don't know if I put it exactly that way. But I think it expresses itself like this. Because what's the problem with his shita? No, first problem with his shita is his pshat in the asafta deganecha, right? That's very problematic. Anyone familiar with this Gemara? Very familiar with this Gemara? So the Gemara right before it, right? This Tosfos has on this daf. The Gemara right before this, the asafta deganecha was what? Bizman. Olsin Matzah Shemar, right? So right away, that's a stira between his pshat and the asafta deganecha. Everyone hear it? But a bigger stira is the first thing I said. V'haya im shamo. It's v'haya im shamo. It's v'asafta deganecha, right? That's a, a striking steer to the idea. So what's the teretz? How do we get out of it? We get out of it the way Tosfos does, right? Which is bottom line, ultimately, the understanding is this is a very elite group. Like, I think what you were alluding to, right? This is, who's Rav Shimon Bar Yochai talking about? He's talking maybe in Yemos HaMashiach type of situation, or, you know, original Malch Shlomo. I don't know. It's a very, very special time. For very, very, very special people. An elite group. That's who this is. That's who it is. So that puts one perspective. We'll hold on to that. That's Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is telling me that there is an elite group that's going to be doing this. Good. But what's Rav Yishmael? What's his shita? His shita is very, very tricky. You have to be careful with it, right? The hav mina was lo yomosh. Then it says v'yasata d'ganecha. It's a matir. In what sense is it a matir? How far does it go? Right? So hav mina number one is, right? The gamrei. Maybe we thought lo yomosh means you should learn all the time. Comes v'yasata d'ganecha? No, you don't have to. You could fill your time with other things, right? Now, could meaning anything. Is that pshat? Why is that? What's the absolute proof that that's not pshat? You have to know another Gemara a little bit. Where's the other Gemara that has the same two people almost in opposite positions? Where? Menachos. Right, so in Menachos, I think it's Sadi Ches, around there. So there, Rabbi Shmuel is asked by his nephew, hey, I just finished Kol Torah Kula. How about Chochmas Yevanis? Can I learn Chochmas Yevanis now? So what does Rabbi Shmuel say? So you'd figure, if Pshat really was the full matir of the Asad HaDanecha, he would say, yeah, go ahead. And why'd you wait so long? You know, get into that Chochmas Yevanis early, right? So no, he says, well, find the time that's not Laila and not Yom, and then you could do it. So clearly he understood Lo Yomosh Kipshuta. Lo Yomosh means Lo Yomosh. So now, how does the Asad HaDanecha matir work? And this becomes the critical question. It's a Machlokis Rishonim. It's an absolute Machlokis Rishonim. If you look at Rashi in this Gemara, he's a very restrictive approach to it. I call this the Haredi Rashi, and Haredi is from Eretz Yisrael. So like, that has a connotation. What does it mean being Haredi in Eretz Yisrael? Which, by the way, I hate those labels. I hate those terms. Right? Hate those. But Haredi means generally one of the first things aside from the army issue. The other issue is no looking too avidly for parnasa. You should be lo yomosh literally, right? And Vasafta is a very limited heter. That's what Rashi says over here. That's really Pashup Shana Rashi. He says, Minog der Eretz, She'im tavo lide tzorech habrios, sofech livata medivre tov. So what's he telling you? You want to know why there's a heter, even according to Rabbi Shmuel? Really to facilitate your learning. So whatever you could do, in other words, if you rely on a miracle to provide parnasah, or a father-in-law, or a father, or something like that, if you're going to rely like that, or the tzibor, or something like that, you're bound to maybe mess up. You'll get less learning in. You want to facilitate maximal Talmud Torah, so get yourself a parnasa. But obviously, the parnasa should be something that's just enough, gets by, allows you to survive. Not exactly what's involved in becoming a doctor, bizmanina, right? And that's what you should do. You should really go, lo yomosh is everybody, l'chuli alma, that's the way to go. And parnasa should have been chosen in the most sort of economic way. And what Yotze from this pshat is certainly that there's a lot to be said for not becoming a doctor. Because becoming a doctor will require a lot more than that, and should. And everybody should realize, by the way, you know, if you decided to become a doctor, you have to really, really learn medicine really, really well. You can't... I used to have to tell them this. I thought they were learning too much. It sounds strange. But a lot of the guys that year, you know, the kids asked me, what should I learn? What should I learn? What should I add on? And I don't know, like, when I was in medical school, I had a lot of memorizing to do. I don't know about you guys, but I felt like I told them the story that I remember when I was in college. So there was this tzaddik. I just call him a tzaddik. He's an amazing person. His name is Ricky Goldfarb. Anyone ever hear of him? He's the head of nuclear medicine at Beth Israel Hospital. I love to talk about him because he's just an amazing person. And he lived right near where I went to school. And he used to grab us. I didn't go to YU. I went to a different college. He used to grab us up, all the guys that came to Minyan, and he would try to get us to learn. You know, he said, you know, you're pre-med, but make sure you're learning, right? And what he used to, he made me get up, like, I remember, 5:30 in the morning, do Aruch HaShulchan or Shmir Shas. I forgot what exactly, just whatever, never enough for him. Never enough learning. So it comes like I'm graduating college and I'm getting ready for medical school, and I say, so what should I learn in medical school? So I'm figuring he's going to give me a great mahalach, all right, go through Shas and then do whatever. So he says, medicine, right? Even he, it's such a raya to me. There's no one who's machshiv learning more than this person. Every free moment of his day, he's learning. And I remember when I did my pre-med thing, trying to get a good recommendation or whatever I was trying to do, a CV thing. So I did it by him. So I'm figuring, all right, I'll do some nuclear medicine. He puts me in a room, sits me down with a tape recorder. Back then there was these things called tape recorders. Remember them? Like, whatever. And he had me taping. I think it was Aruch HaShulchan at that time. Also, just so that he could listen whatever free time he had. But even he said, medicine, you gotta learn medicine. You gotta learn medicine. So if so, then we're gonna have a problem with Rashi. But Baruch Hashem, there's another Shita. There is another Shita. And this is Shita of the Tosfos HaRosh. It's a Shita of Baalei Tosfos Mordechai, other Baalei Tosfos. It's another way of looking at Besafta Deganacha. Anyone know what it is? What's the other way of looking at Besafta Deganacha? It isn't like Rashi. What else could the Rabbi Shmuel mean? This is the non-Haredi Rishonim. Of course, they're all Haredi in the true sense. But hashkafically, non-quote-unquote Haredi, meaning it's a mitzvah / chiyuv to take achrayus for your parnasa. It's an absolute mitzvah, an achrayus. So that's what the Asata Deganach is telling you. But wait a second. Lo yomosh, I'm learning night and day. What about osik mitzvah patur min mitzvah? Anyone know this famous Torah? Stipler? Right? Yeah, right? Very famous, right? It's Kilos Yaakov, two places, I think, Brachos and Simon Chafei, and Shabbos. In both those places, he says this Yisod. He says, just realize there's a klal called Osu B'mitzvah Patur Min HaMitzvah. However, when it comes to Talmud Torah, it's an exception. Talmud Torah, there is no Chiyuv Talmud Torah when you're involved in these other mitzvahs Shebegufa. If it's Efshal Yidei Acher, fine. But Achrayis for your Parnasa is not Efshal Yidei Acher. Achrayis for your Parnasa is you. You have an Achrayis for your Parnasa. So this now is a very a significant opening. It's a significant opening. We didn't start talking about medicine per se. But this is a Parnasa, right? Becomes a Chiyuv. So don't start throwing the Rav Shimon Bar Yochai at me. Really, there are three options now at the end of it, if you really follow through this. And we're doing like a very kind of quick, semi-oversimplification. But I think the conclusion is valid and representative is when you really ma'ayin in the sugya, you come up with three shitos. There's Rav Shimon Bar Yochai and the ideal. There is Rabbi Shmuel and two pshatim, is Rashi pshat that is limiting, that it should be minimized. And then there's these other rishonim that are calling the asata a mitzvah. So, who wins? What's the psak? What's the psak? By the way, what's the end? Huh? Something like that? 9:15 to 10:15? No. So we'll keep going. Anyway, what's the psak? Who's familiar with the Gemara? Come on, what's the psak? Right! A very funny psak, right? The psak is Amar Abaye Harbe Asud Rabbi Shmuel V'Asu V'Yada Rabbi Shmuel V'Yachad V'Lo Asu V'Yada. So, sounds like what? Rabbi Shmuel, psak's like Rabbi Shmuel. Of course, this is a weird psak, so there's got to be more to it than that. So turn the page. How do we pass? So let's just look at the bottom line. You know, it's beautiful how much you can get out of just the Mishnah Berurah and Aruch HaShulchan, right? Start with the Mechaber and Mishnah Berurah. What does the Mechaber say? He's talking about the Seder Hayom over here, right? So this is a very famous Simen, Seder Masu Matan. Achar Kach, after you've davened and you've learned, of course, Yelech le'oskav dechal Torah she'eni mamalacha sofa betela v'gore asava. Oh, sounds like. You want to say something? You mean that there is no chiyuv talmud Torah by a woman, right? So that's, in other words, everything we're talking about, it very much depends on a man and woman. Woman has it much easier. In other words, it's a total hashkafic shaila by a woman. In other words, it's not a halachic. There's no 100%. We don't have to get into any of this. We're not going to get into, right? We'll still get into Avram Sofer Avram's problem, women, which is you're choosing, and you get into a different hashkafic element. And we should give full time. We can do this topic much more. I thought I had to fly through it. But It's an important topic, no? It's worth it? You got to give me confidence that I'm doing the right thing, right? Okay, good. So, number one, Ein Achinami, 100%. The Talmud Torah issue is off the table when it comes to women. But what they have to worry about is this, and this maybe is why they pick on us. Avraham Sofer Avraham picks on us because he knows the tremendous nisyonos in becoming a doctor for men and women, right? Aside from Talmud Torah, which is what Moshe focused on, there's issues of histaklus and negia and davening times, all the things that I hope to do with you over the next few weeks. All these incredibly challenging areas of halacha that most people can avoid in their lives, right? So women have to face that challenge as well. What are you getting yourself into when you don't have to? So that's an Ein Achinami. You know, of course, Avraham Tovaram knows what he's talking about. And yes, so, but I, you know, it's like life in general. You know, you could be the kind of person who's passive, or you could be the person who to accomplish more and greater things, you got to take more challenges, and, you know, I'm always into that, right? So that's my answer to him, as we'll see. But good point in terms of, like, what we're talking about right now is really for men, this part. So the Mishnah Berurah then comes in, and I want to know which Rabbi Shmuel makes it through. Which psak, which understanding of Rabbi Shmuel? Is it Rashi, or is it those other Rishonim? So I'll read the Mishnah Berurah, you tell me. He says the following. First thing he says, look at the Bir Halacha first. The first thing he says, and what happens to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai? What happened to him? Rav Moshe made it the Maila Achi Gavol. What happened to that? So the first thing, the Bir Halacha, I won't read it inside in the interest of time, I'll just say it, you can look it on your own. Basically he says, yeah, but look at the way the Psak of the Gemara is. The Psak is Harbe Asu, Harbe Asu, etc. So what that tells me, says the Chavetz Chaim, is that it didn't say that none were successful like Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. And therefore it's definitely an option open to people. It's definitely part of the Psak. The Psak is, this is almost like a meta-halachic issue to some degree, in the sense there's no absolute final psak, but you have all those options. That's what the Gemara was telling me by saying, Harbeyas, what did Abayi want you to realize? Aside from the fact he was giving you advice, 99% of people are better off going with Rabbi Shmuel, right? I think that was the advice Abayi was giving you. But realize that if you're in that 1% of the elite, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, go for it. You know, you can go for it. Some of them, the mute, were successful. So that's the Bir Halacha's point number one. Then in the Mishnah Berurah, he tells me which one of the Rabbi Shmuels he wants. So without leading you one way or the other, I'm curious what you guys think. Here's what he says. In Sifkat and Beis, Ikar Eliyaseh Rakidei Parnasaso Ach Bazeh Gufa Tzarech Lizara Mi Pitoi Hayetzer Shemefaseu Shekol Hayom Tzarech Hishtadlus Al Harvachazu V'Haikar Shizbonan Ba'atzmo Mahu Hechrech ha'miti she'efshar b'l'ado. Va'az yachol iskayim b'yado. She'emelachto arai v'sarasso ikar. So what's he clearly holding like? Rashi. Right? So the Mishnah is telling you, it's true that we pass him like Rabbi Shmuel, that v'asavta de'garacha, but it seems definitely the tone of his final word is along the lines of Rashi. Right? Well, I never liked those jokes. Do you guys like those? I have more to say about that, actually. I'm going to even maintain that the Mishnah Berurah would have a friendlier feel towards us for other reasons. But Ein Achinami, like, medicine isn't the harvacha yisera that it used to be. But we'll see. By the way, just to let everybody know, I'm so not into the whining about the economic position of MDs these days. It's really still better than everybody else practically in terms of its overall security, and don't worry about it. If anyone was worried about it, I don't know, it shouldn't be your motivation for going to medicine. There is one yisod I will always take from this Mishnah Berurah, which is that I think there's no arguing with the fact that a person should not be going into it for the money, and you shouldn't be overworking for the money, and you shouldn't be motivated by money, period, no matter what you're doing, right? A person should always try to make do, right, with enough. And that's going to be very important, ultimately, with the ultimate way you handle yourself as a doctor, right? Because one thing, in many areas of medicine, like, you're going to be controlled to some degree by these third-party business conglomerations, and you're going to be maybe controlled by a hospital. A lot of doctors have a lot of leeway, if they're going private to some degree, of making this type of calculation on their own. How much do they have to be greedy, and how much are they going to do otherwise? The truth is, I just wanted to say that, you know, in terms of... actually, let's look at the Aruch HaShulchan, because he's going to lead into this point very nicely. The Aruch HaShulchan actually has a...
I'm not sure I necessarily agree that Rashi is going along with Rashi's approach. All he's arguing is that you shouldn't be going out of your way to... for Harvati Yisera, that your focus should be always on Rosh HaKedah. That can still mean that it's a mitzvah. I mean, the Shavuot himself sounds like you should be going...
I do think that it sounds like his concern was, okay, I'm going to go along with this. You definitely have to have some kind of kvius parnasa, but don't lose sight of the fact that it's you have to make the ikar Torah, and the parnasa is serving a purpose merely to sustain you. Here would be an example of an afkamino. Let's say you have an opportunity to avoid having to do any parnasa. Let's say you could get out of it. Sounds like to me in a second the Chafetz Chaim would say, grab it, do it, and learn. But there's an element according to the other Rishonim of there's a mitzvah, there's a kiyama mitzvah in taking a chrayas for your own parnasa. There's something more. Listen to the Aruch HaShulchan's Lashon. That's really, I hear you, it's not Mechorach at all, the whole thing. Absolutely not. And there's going to even be, Mitzad Refuah, there's going to even be another Nakuda that's going to change even the Chavetz Chaim. But look at the way, what made it, what highlighted for me the tone of the Mishnah Berurah was this Aruch HaShulchan. He says like this, on the same sim. He says, Achar Kol Yerech L'Oskav, the Kol Torah Sheini Mamalacha Sofa Betel of Geras Ava. Hanius ma'avirin es ha'adam al daito v'adas konya. U'mishela yeshlo umnus davar tov hu. See, there's a tone here that's about to change. Having an umnus is not just a necessary evil, right? It's a good thing. The kacham ruchazal, he starts quoting me, naisu yishchiv adam lelamed es b'no umnus. V'kol she'enu melamda umnus ki'ilu melamda listus. V'kama toim b'zeh lomar sha umnus hu davar shel bizayon. Look what his concern is. His concern is a much different emphasis. He's emphasizing, you know, having a good job is an act of dignity in the philosophical terms of Rav Soloveitchik, right? It's a positive in its own right. Even the Gabbe Talmud Torah, it's like the flavor of a kima mitzvah of its own, as opposed to, you know, just minimize it and do whatever you can to get by, but don't think of it as anything but a bizayon that you have to do this. Right, and then you know, without spending more time on it, if you read through it, he develops that type of flavor to this thing where it sounds much more like the other Rishonim. At the end of the day, it sounds like, in terms of the first argument that a person should be demoralized because Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva that the Ma'alah Chi Gavoa is to be like Shemar Yochai is not something anyone needs to personalize, because the truth of the matter is. It might be true that it is the Ma'alah Hachi Gavoa, but it is really something that seems to be in destiny for a certain elite group that, for some reason, this is something that they're meant to do. It's a Ma'alah Hachi Gavoa that's available to mankind, maybe, but it's certainly not for everybody. And the advice that Chazal are even given seems to be, don't even go for it. It's a mistake for many of us to go for it, for most of us to go for it. It's a mistake. And therefore, it's not a lechatchila for everyone to think that they're Rav Shimon Bar Yochai and that they think that they're in that elite group. Now, right now it's speculation that I'm saying that. But to me, that was like, when I honestly looked, objectively looked at the sugya, at the end of the day, I came out with that feeling. So really, the question became twofold. One, is there anything special about medicine that even maybe takes this a little further? And two, so how do I then deal with myself? I don't want to feel guilty. I want to be an objectively, intellectually honest person. I want to know, am I like fooling myself? Is this all apologetics? Like, what's going on with that? That's what was killing these guys. So I want to answer both those questions. So first, in terms of medicine per se, the next page is a very important page to see for several reasons. This is a very famous Sefer Hasidim. Right? In this Sefer Hasidim, right, Rabbi Yehuda Chassid says the following. He says, Al tehid tzadik harbe v'al tischachem yoser. Very good opening. Right? Gets you in the mood. And then he talks about, everyone familiar with this? If you're not familiar. Okay, so let's read through it quickly. Because this is a very famous Mar Malkum. Everybody should know this Mar Malkum. He says, Echad hayesh amar lo aviv tilmod lefanai sefer refuah. So there was a guy, let me take it outside in the interest of time. There was a person whose father was a doctor, and his father said to him, hey, I'm a doctor. You know, it was in the mostly Rishonim, that was kind of the way it worked. They didn't have the same pre-med med process that we have. So you apprenticed. You apprenticed by some famous doctor if you thought you were going to do it. But very often it was father to son passed on. So the father says to the son, why don't you do it? So the son says, no, I don't want to do it. Not for me. Why not? Because he knows, like the famous story of the Gruz father and all that, that once I do it, I'm committed. I'm chayef. Right? Then I got to take care of people. But if I don't commit, if I don't take the plunge into medicine and become a doctor, then let's say there's a poor person who lives far away and he calls me to go see him and take care of him, I could say no. Because I don't have any chiyuv, vilmo lios rofe. Right? Okay. So is that a nice way to talk or not a nice way to talk? So right away, Reb Leich says, don't take anything else out of this pshat like I'm about to do. All pshat here really is, and maybe he's right, but others felt differently, is that it's just bad, he has bad motivations here. There's a bad reason not to become a doctor. But I thought, you know, but still there's more here. I don't hear them saying what Rav Moshe was saying and what Rav Shechter was saying and what Rav Blaich was. I don't hear that either in this. Now there's a parish on the Sefer Hasidim called the Mishnas Avram, not the Nishmash, but the Mishnas, right? By Rav Avram Price, very famous Rav in Toronto, big Talmud Chacham. So he writes on this, quite a different story. Limud chokhmas refuah mitzvah gedola hi. And this guy is making a big mistake. Uma nimno divrei ki divrei ki halo rabbeinu kosev bekan shemi sheyesh lo yecholas lilmud torah serefuah ve'eino lomed chashuv ki ilu heimes is elu shayachal refos. Because that's the end of the Sefer Hasidim. What's said back to that to him is you're doing a terrible thing by deciding not to become a doctor, because it's not that you're not responsible for the people that die. You are responsible, because if you would have become a doctor, people that died would have lived had you made that right decision. So Rav Avram Price is clearly, the upshot is to show that for this guy who had the yecholet, yeah, that's the big question mark, what does that mean? He should have done it. He should have become a doctor. It was more than a lechatchila. It was an absolute chiyuv on that guy to become a doctor. Now, he also happens to mention something that no one else said before, which is it's a mitzvah lilmot lios rofe. That's a big chiddush. And it goes against Rosh Shlomo Zalman, it goes against Rav Moshe, it goes against everyone, except I wanted you to see two tshuvas that we're going to see in another context. This is the Chelchis Yaakov over here, Yaakov Breish, big Talmud, big one of the Gedolei Ador. He, Beferer, says to study to become a doctor is a mitzvah, right? No, he says on two reasons. He says, number one, to have a parnasa, like Rabbi Shmuel, other Rishonim, he says, is a tremendous dignity. He sounded very Rav Soloveitchik, you know, but of course he's a very Haredi gadol, not exactly reading Rav Soloveitchik. But same kind of idea. He says that it's a tremendous thing that a person should have what he calls umnas lisparnes bekavod. So first of all, this is very different than the limited Rashi approach. It's saying that you shouldn't just look for a parnasa that's going to minimize and make it through in terms of survival. But you should look at something that's going to give you dignity. Do something that's a dignified, and being a doctor, he goes on to write, is one of the most amazingly dignified things to do. And it's definitely a mitzvah to do. So he was talking in the context of other shilas about things you can do on Shabbos, that he was going to use this as a heter. We'll talk about it one day. At the end of the day, though, what you begin to see over here is this idea of, you know, even going further than the sugya that we concluded, further than the Aruch HaShulchan. In particular, in medicine, if you have the yecholet, you could be making a tremendous mistake if you opt not to go into medicine. It's not only that it's a di'evit. It's not a di'evit. Or it's not only that it's not a di'evit. It's certainly not a di'evit. What you might be doing wrong is if you were supposed to be a doctor and you chose to learn full time, you are doing a terrible mistake. That's the upshot kind of message. So how could that be? What does that mean? So, and who am? How do I know if it's me? Am I? Which guy am I? Am I the guy that's making, am I Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, or am I the guy making the big mistake? So the key words here was, what was the key word? Yecholet, right? And go back for a second to Rav Shlomo Zalman's comments. Like, I purposely ran you through this because I wanted to come back to it and point it out now. If we read the full Rav Shlomo Zalman, who's touted as one of the anti-becoming a doctor people, Look what he says. Just read carefully what he says. So he says, on the top of page 2, Ken Amar Liagon, Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach, She'ikar Achiv Shel Yehudi Hu Lilmod Torah, right? That's the Achi Gavoa, the Rama Achi Gavoa. She'atirim ha'atirim ha'movim b'nishmas Avram, Hemrak Avor Misha Eno Yachol, O Eno Mesugal. What is the word? I circled it, right? I hope I circled it in yours. What does Mesugal mean? Read a little further. L'kayim zos shetarasu tiyam naso, v'alav lilmod miksoa, rak az imhu, second time. Mesugal lilmod refuah b'matara l'tapa v'lazer l'chol Yisrael. What's Rosh Hashanah really saying? And put it together with the sugya we just said. What he's saying is, it depends on who you are. There are people that are chosen, or mesugal. They have the netiya, they have the special... destiny that they should be involved in refuah, and that's what they're supposed to do, and that's 100% lachat chilah. How do I know if I'm that person or not? So first I want to say that, and how real is this? Is there a gemara that supports this idea? Anyone know it? Is there a gemara that supports the idea that you're making a mistake? Sounds like a radical thing to say, right? If you choose to go into full-time learning and don't go into medicine, you made a big mistake. How often have you heard that from Rebbe? Anyone hear that? I never heard it. Yes! Bidiyuk, Chagiga, excellent. Wow, excellent. Right? It's Gemara Chagiga. If you look at the next page, it's from Imre Baruch, from Baruch Simon, Rabbi Baruch Simon. He has a beautiful whole piece on this. In it, he quotes that Gemara, and he says a lot of other Gemaras that also fit in. It's an amazing Gemara. It's in Chagiga and Dachei Amud Beis. And basically, the Gemara says like this. It says that Tana Rabbanan Shlosh Hakadosh Baruch Hu Bocha Aleim B'chol Yom Al She'efshar Lo Lasuk B'Torah De'Eino Osek V'Al She'efshar Lo Lasuk B'Torah De'Osek. Oh, it's an amazing, amazing thing. You never think you're going to hear that, but it's beferish what we're saying. It's beferish what we're saying. And then Simon was like so taken by it, like he even asked Rav Shechter. And here's why I'm saying I don't think that there's a machlokis here. It's not like all those people I brought in the beginning, demoralizing one after another, would disagree with any of this. Rav Shechter himself gave pshat that way. He said, the pshat is, look, there are certain people, what word does he use? I was so happy and gratified when I saw that word. Mesugalim. He uses exactly Rav Shlomo Zalman's lashon. He says, there are people that are mesugalim to be doctors. There are people that are mesugalim to be Rav Shmuel Bar Yochai. If you pick the wrong one, you're absolutely making a mistake in either direction. It's not radical. It's beferish and chazal. And it's beferish, Gedol Yisrael are saying it as well. And I feel like much more comfortable. I used to be nervous when I talk about these things. Till I saw Rav Simon HaTzadik, when I saw his piece, that just like made me feel so much better. Right? And I recommend you look at the whole Mamar, because he has a lot more in this theme. But that's the upshot of what he's saying. So now we got one thing left, and I'm probably not going to get to the Shem HaShem's residencies, but we'll end with this, and then I'll try to combine Shem HaShem's residencies with returning from Matzah will be the next good topic. Halach L'maisa. Anyone have a preference for something they feel pressing about? Should we skip Shem HaShabbos residencies? Who wants to do Shem HaShabbos residencies? That's a topic that I should do. Who wants to skip it? Everyone's neutral. Okay, so we got one yes, we're going to do it. All right. How does a person know that they did the right thing? That was really the L'maisa. At the end of the day, they heard it. I went through all this with these guys. Right? I'm bringing you back to Einstein, whatever, 4 or 5 years ago, whatever it was. I remember. And they said, that's all very nice. But how do we know we're not the Rav Shimon Bar Yochai? Right? Because these guys are learning Yom HaMelayah. And I'm sure you guys are also. But how do you know? So there is, actually, if you look on the next page, I couldn't help myself. Before I get to that next page, I wanted to just mention another Gemara that everybody should be aware of. It's a Gemara in Tanis. And over there, I don't know this Gemara. It's another one that's like along the lines of what we're saying, just to give us a little more positive feeling. That's like the whole objective. This is on, it's on Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. And there it talks about Abaye. Abaye being upset. Why is he upset? He's upset because Abba Umna, this doctor, is zochah to have Shamayim say Shalom Aleichem to him. I forgot if it's every day. Yeah, I think he's getting it every day. Abaye is getting it only once a week. my baby brother's getting it even less. Whatever the sequences were, the doctor's getting it more than Abaye. So, like, you know, he's upset. How come I'm not zochet to get the Shalom Lechem from the Shamayim every day? So, there, it's the same Yisod. So, there Chazal comes out saying, well, look what he's doing. What is he doing? And it shows all the great opportunities that he's using at his disposal. In other words, all those great challenges of being a doctor halachically, he is capitalizing on them. In other words, like, he is doing a great avodas Hashem, being mesugal to be a doctor, and then doing it, of course, the Shem Shamayim. So we can't lose sight of that. That's the emphasis of this additional one of the Makoros, is that to realize that once we say you are mesugal to be a doctor, it means you're avodas Hashem to be a doctor. That always has to be the primary motivation for whatever you're doing. So it says in that Gemara that, you know, he treated the women, this is one of Avraham Sofer Avraham's biggest pet peeves, and mine as well, is that, like, when you're, if you're examining a woman, so, you know, a lot of doctors are so callous about it. I remember I had this surgery chief, just a nutso guy, and he, I have no other way to describe him. He actually had a yeshiva education. He went to a yeshiva elementary school, and one that's near and dear to my heart. It's the same elementary school I went to. I'm so embarrassed to be here. And he used to, he hated the Shomer Shabbos people. So that, remember, in medical school, you certainly don't have to be Mechal Shabbos, right? By law. So, surgical rotation, they try to make you do everything. Anyone been through surgical rotation yet? So, you know, your job is to be, you know, need I say more? In other words, like, that's who you are. So, to think that they're going to accommodate your Shabbos, they're out of your mind, right? Even though they have to. So, a situation arose where that needed to be done. And this guy is saying, no, you have to come in on Shabbos to a medical student. So, thank God it wasn't me, because see what happened. So, this medical student says, I don't have to. And then it became a whole to do. He won the medical student because he forced his hand, because the law is that you don't have to come. But this guy wasn't going to be taking that. So, when it came to his evaluation, and don't always stick to your guns, don't let this scare you. He wrote on his evaluation, he writes about this guy who got great evaluations from everybody. He writes, in my opinion, rule out Down syndrome. That's what he wrote on the evaluation. So you gotta be careful, but in the end, I think he got that race also. He had to go back to the administration and take care of that. And that guy got fired the next year, so yes, there's justice. But this same guy, how did I get into him? The same guy, I'll never forget, he demonstrated to us when we were learning about doing a proper exam for breast cancer. So, you know, in my opinion, if you need to do that, and the way to do it is, like, private and very small group, if not one-on-one with a doctor, this guy decides to take this poor woman patient, takes her in front of the entire group that were doing the rotation, and just exposes her like this, you know, like, in the most undignified manner. So, one of the things Abba Umna did was he was extremely sensitive to that. You know, when you're doing auscultation, as an example, a real-life example, 5 minutes, so I can do this. I remember, you know, I'm a cardiologist, I'm a pediatric cardiologist. So one thing I know is that I remember as a medical student and even as a resident, they pushed and pushed. If you want to do a proper auscultatory examination, if you want to really listen to a person's heart, it's got to be to the skin. Don't do it through the clothes. So, you know, how true is that? This maybe should turn off the tape or go far. I'm kidding. I'm not going to say it. So I'm kidding, but whatever, I'll go for it. I'm getting older. I used to turn it off in this story. So, the truth of the matter is, you know, let's say you're examining somebody who is very sensitive. Let's say I have a lot of teenage girls. So, you know, they're extremely sensitive, and they should be. And, you can listen to them exposing them, or you can listen to them not exposing them. So the truth is, as a cardiologist, I'm telling you, definitely the pediatric population, and unless it's a very heavy person, there's no chisaron to listening to them over, let's say, a thin garment, thin sort of gown. Now you might have, I'm just warning you, if you take this advice, there are these, like, tendons that are going to, like, oh, look, he didn't really listen because he was, you can tell them, well, I know a cardiologist said, give me my phone number, because the truth of the matter is, with the degree of what you get out of auscultation these days, anything that's really significant, you're going to be able to hear. The subtleties are from the 50s and 60s and 70s. Bismanenu, we don't really have to embarrass people. So that's just some examples. Let me get back on track. So how do I know? How do I know what I'm still about to do? Let's get back to that. That was really the issue. So I wanted you to see in the last two pages of the handout, two basic yesodos that Chazal give us in order to come to this self-realization and come to this conclusion about ourselves. The first one is in the Tziv, and it's on page, I think, 8 or so in the handout. Quoting from Kohelis, says, "Smach b'chor b'yadusecha, b'yitivcha libcha b'yimei b'churosecha, b'halech b'darche libecha." Those are the key words. B'halech b'darche libecha. What is Shlomo Melech telling you? He's telling you one way, this is chaste Hashem, one way you know what your mesuga for is, what do you really like to do? Where's your netiyah? It's a totally legitimate approach to deciding what you're going to do in your life. Very often, what you love to do is what you do well. And the Netziv really spells it out exactly in our context. The Netziv says, "V'nimtza perish v'halach b'darchei libecha, lefi she'en hiluch avodas Hashem, b'tmidus shel kol b'nei adam shavin." Everybody's avodas Hashem is different. One person's avodas Hashem, "Zeh osek b'torah v'amela kol hayom," is the Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. "V'zeh porish atzmo la'avoda, if you maintain that single yisod, that you're doing it l'shem shamayim, you're doing it as your avodas Hashem, it could be many varied things. And the key is, halach b'darchei libcha. You should go for the thing that you're drawn to do. Your netiya is going to be direction number one. But it's not enough, because you could sometimes fool yourself, right? It's not enough. But it's definitely a legitimate, and I'm tired of fighting people on this. Because I could give you 100 Mekorins right now that support this. I just gave you one. If you want some more, I started writing them down. There's Gemara in Brachos and Daf Mem Gimel. There's the Shara Bitachon Chavos Levavos. There's an Or Sameach and Hichos Tam Torah. And on and on and on. This is not my Chiddush. This is a well-known Yisod. Very ancient. It goes back to Shlomo HaMelech. That's number one. And then I gave you Ali Shur, no time to do it, but he kind of supports the same idea. Go to the last page. So Shmulevitz and Rav Nevinsol give you then the other thing you got to throw into the cheshbon, I think. And they say the following. They say, Mikol Makom, I just want to read the Sichos Musar, "Nimtzer b'yadeinu eitzel adas im chafetz Hashem b'derech banelach." Right? He's talking about, you make your choice what you're going to do. You choose, "I'm not going to be Rosh Hashanah, I'm going to go into medicine." Did you do the right thing? Should you be feeling the depression? Which you should take this is a great thing to do. So aside from netiyah, which was step one, step two is something that he emphasizes. And he says, you have to look at yashrus. You have to really be honest. You have to decide, is this honestly what Hashem would want? And I'll never forget, at the confused time in my life, the one that really got me through was Rabbi Willig. Rabbi Mordechai Willig, you know, Shlita, he was very helpful to me in the following regard. I remember I had this tremendous decision to make. And it, to me, it was the most complicated, confusing decision, like deciding my what am I mesugal for. So he said to me, he said, "Look, whenever you have a difficult decision, I have the perfect answer." He said, "Just say to yourself, is this what HaKadosh Baruch Hu would want you to do or not?" So at first I thought it was like he's just blowing me off, giving me like, that's it? That's the great, you know, I set up a meeting. Yeah, whoa. That's it? Are you in a rush, Rabbi Willig? Are you in a rush? But then it hit me, that formula has worked very, very well. Because you got to do it for real. You got to like imagine, you know, you're going to be talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and your mom is saying, this decision is something he approves of. And this is really, Rav Nevinsol makes this the same statement in the famous Gemara that says, you know, "Efshar la'olam b'lo bosam u'b'lo borski." We need everything, right? The world needs everything. You need the perfume factories and you need the tanneries, right? Someone's got to do everything. So he says, "Chazal morim lanu shitzarich adam l'chapis la'atzma k'der chayim miktsoa shiyati v'saruch li'yishibo esator v'amitzvah shibo." The gam shekol baal mikzoa misayeh b'sofa shel davar the shichlo haolam about tzarich lasuk bedaber shemesayeya yeshirus l'tikun sheikaron ikaro kemuvan tikun ruchani. You really have to have an honest, after you've resolved your netiya where your lane is, and then step two really means that you make this honest assessment. Is this really going to enhance my spirituality? Will I really be doing this l'shem shemayim? Will this make me a better person? Which is why at the end of the day, as long, I think, if someone who chooses to go into medicine, it's generally because they have a netiya towards the field of medicine. They have a netiya towards being involved on a daily basis, and it really is that way. Don't listen to any of the pessimists or the naysayers in medicine. Medicine's great, because there's a lot of, like, dissatisfied doctors out there, but I totally disagree with them. I experience on a daily basis when I'm involved in medicine, and I haven't given it up. With all the other things I'm trying to do, I can't give up medicine because it's, I'm chayiv. But aside from that, I love it. I love it because it is an incredibly satisfying vocation that gives you a feeling of being involved in Avodas Hashem on a daily basis, which very few people really have in all the other things. They don't, it's rare. A lot of people get to do a lot of good things. And you can even become a businessman or a lawyer or whatever. You can do all these other things. And then open up time to learn and be involved in Avodas Hashem and have a parnasa in the Rashi sense. In medicine, I think it's bigger than all of it. In medicine, you get to do if you're Mesuga, right? If you're meant to be Rosh Hashanah Yochai, I don't think you got to be careful, right? It's a little late to tell you guys this, right? But it's something that if you've made that decision and you're comfortable with it, you have every reason to be proud, think of it as the Chatchila, and now you have an achrayus to, A, learn medicine in the most optimal way, and also really prepare yourself to Lachavir, which is the real purpose of all the Shiur, which we're going to do for now on. Enough drush. You know, I just thought this is always an important thing to get out. And for now on, what we will be doing is focusing on Lachla Maisa, and I'm looking forward to doing that and where we can make it.
Thank you. Thank you.